Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 66 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Samantha Morrill.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Mayor Frankel had the best intentions for the city of Olive Hill. It was very pleasurable working with him.
Olive Hill Mayor Kenny Frankel is being remembered after passing away yesterday morning.
Protesters are keeping good on their word to follow Senator Mitch McConnell on his tour through Kentucky.
And Rowan County is poised to gain hundreds of jobs.
In sports, Moorhead State's men's basketball team is at Johnson Arena tonight in OVC action.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy tonight with lows around 54 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
First up this afternoon, a man has been flown to the hospital after Kentucky State Police say he was shot multiple times. According to WSAZ, troopers say the victim drove to a gas station along Route 60 in Olive Hill after the shooting. He was then flown to Cabell Huntington Hospital. Route 60 East off the 161 exit ramp is shut down in both directions, and it is expected to remain closed for several hours. Troopers say a suspect is being questioned, but so far no charges have been filed.
Investigators continue probing the cause of a fire early Wednesday in Ashland that killed two sisters and injured two other people. Fire Chief Greg Ray says whatever sparked the blaze that gutted a Gibson Street home has still not been determined.
Not yet. We know where it started. It started in the living room around the chair. But as far as how it started, we don't know that yet. They're doing some more tests to see, you know, what they can determine, maybe the condition of she had any smoke in her when she passed away or different things to make sure. But that's still being investigated.
The pre-dawn fire took the lives of 60-year-old Mary Akers and 74-year-old Carol Morgan.
The Eastern Kentucky chapter of the American Red Cross is assisting a husband and wife left homeless by Wednesday's tragic blaze in Ashland. Joanna King is director of the local Red Cross unit.
They have not been resettled yet, but they have been given money to help them with a hotel room or somewhere to stay for the next few days as we help them through that recovery process.
King says the Red Cross provides smoke detectors to both homeowners and renters upon request. None were found in the house where the fatal fire occurred.
According to one official, those in the city of Olive Hill remain in shock at the unexpected passing of their mayor. 57-year-old Kenny Frankel died yesterday at the University of Kentucky Medical Center in Lexington. He'd reportedly been battling an illness recently. Frankel had been Olive Hill's mayor since 2012, and City Councilman Justin Dixon says he'll be missed by the 2,100 residents of the western Carty County town.
He was very well liked by the citizens. He was everywhere that if there was an event going on, he was there, and Mayor Frankel was very well liked by the citizens.
An 11-year member of City Council, Frankel became Olive Hill's mayor after Danny Sparks resigned after he was charged with selling marijuana near a local elementary school. Dixon says the Olive Hill Council will likely meet next week to discuss appointing a replacement for Frankel. The group has 30 days to accomplish that task, or it will fall to Governor Matt Bevin.
Congressman Andy Barr got an earful from people who attended a town hall meeting in Mount Sterling Wednesday, and the Republican lawmaker says he enjoyed the exchange. Many were upset with Barr's repeated vows to repeal the Affordable Care Act and replace it with a plan that gives people tax credits for their health care expenses. Debbie Winslow challenged the congressman on that point. She spoke with Spectrum News.
Tax credits don't work in the event that someone is living paycheck to paycheck. What he really needs to focus on is raising the minimum wage for federally so that people have more money to spend, and that will stimulate our economy.
Barr also talked with Spectrum News. He says he welcomes different viewpoints.
This is the American people having a discussion about the future of our country. I think it's fabulous. I think it's great that people are engaged and expressing their First Amendment freedoms, and this makes America better, not worse.
About 100 persons from all over Barr's 6th District attended the forum in Montgomery County.
Protesters show up for day two of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's tour of Kentucky. KNN's Haley Hansen has details.
Protesters have stayed true to their claim that they would follow the Senate Majority Leader to each leg of his tour of Kentucky, this time at a Jeffersontown Chamber of Commerce event.
I'm not going to roll over and play dead. I'm not going to allow someone not doing their job to speak for me or to silence me.
Hundreds of McConnell opposers lined the streets outside of the Louisville Marriott East during the event. I'm Haley Hansen.
The head of the Morehead-Rowan Economic Development Council hopes that he'll be announcing the addition of several hundred new jobs in the county. According to Executive Director Bob Helton, a few companies are seriously considering locating some of their operations in the MMRC Industrial Park. One in particular looks like a near lock.
A smaller food distribution facility that I've been told that we have verbal agreement on, and we're waiting on written documents, so that's going to create a little activity in the park, I would like to think, fairly soon.
Helton says another company already located in the area is talking about expanding its operations, while two other groups have expressed an interest in the spec building at the industrial park.
The director of Ashland's Economic Development Department wants to encourage more businesses to take advantage of the city's small business loan program. Chris Pullum says it is set up with federal funds made available through community development block grants.
We're an entitlement community for HUD's community development block grant program. So we put forth an action plan every year for public comment and also for the commission to approve through two readings. So technically, we are meeting the minimum requirements for publishing our CDBG program. But that's not really good enough.
Pullum says if more businesses were aware of the initiative, there might be additional loan applications every year. He says Ashland will make use of social media, flyers, and other means to promote the program in the future.
Governor Matt Bevin has paid his late property taxes. Kentucky News Network's Haley Hansen reports.
According to the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office's chief financial officer, the governor and his wife, Glenna, have paid their property taxes and nearly $2,000 in penalties for paying the bill late. Bevin's Louisville home, which has an estimated value of nearly $700,000, had an original tax bill of $9,157. Payments totaling a little over $11,000 were mailed in and processed earlier in the week. I'm Haley Hansen.
Ashland Mayor Steve Gilmore says the merging of the city's planning and economic development departments should expedite the delivery of services in both areas. He says it may not be the last consolidation of city offices this year.
We also think that there are going to be other departments in the city. We're going to do some restructuring at budget time to save the taxpayers money and also make it a little more streamlined to refine the operation of it on a daily basis.
Gilmore says the city's governing board is committed to finding ways to provide the best services for the lowest possible cost.
The work on Round County's new 300-bed detention east of Morehead continues to move full speed ahead. Judge Executive Walter Blevin says, aided by a mild winter, crews have made a lot of progress in recent weeks on the facility.
And I was kind of amazed at how much has been done. We've got maybe three sections of it under roof, and they're working on the other one. And, of course, you still got to go up another 10 feet, I think, on the second story. But now there's not going to be any cells on the second story. That's mainly just for mechanical stuff. But I think making tremendous progress, and as far as I can tell, they're on target.
Which means the $18 million jail should be open by no later than early January of 2018. Blevin says the county recently received three construction change orders from the state for the project, which will add about $4,500 to its final price tag.
389 applicants have successfully applied for expungement of select Class D felonies since the General Assembly passed House Bill 40 last year. According to the Administrative Office of the Courts, and one lawmaker wants to add to the list of eligible offenses. Lebanon Republican Jimmy Higdon is working to pass a bill that allows the remainder of Class D felony offenders to apply for expungement after 10 years, or double the time requirement for the initial list covered in 2016. Higdon told a committee a number of crimes would still be off limits.
No sex crimes, no crimes who the victims were minors, no drug trafficking or illegal sale or distribution offenses, and no violent offenders.
If passed, eligible offenders convicted of a long list of less common crimes, like tampering with DNA samples, could apply to have the charges erased from their record. Higdon's bill was put on hold Wednesday, but is expected to return to committee.
Sponsored by Republican Senator Max Wise, the anti-abortion legislation would set up a priority system for distributing federal family planning dollars with Planned Parenthood clinics at the back of the line. Opponents of the bill argue that Planned Parenthood provides important services to women, such as breast cancer screenings. The organization does not provide abortion services in Kentucky. Democrat Reginald Thomas opposes the bill.
I mean, I think if we really want to use the term pro-life, Mr. President, in this chamber, we ought to be pro-life after the child is born, as well as before the child is born.
The Kentucky Senate approved the bill. It now goes to the House.
A new funding formula for higher education in Kentucky has won approval in the state Senate. Senate Bill 153, tethering funding for public universities and colleges to graduation rates, credit hours completed, and other performance measures, encountered only minor opposition and one no vote in the upper chamber yesterday. Senate Majority Leader Damon Thayer told his colleagues the increased oversight for higher education dollars is long overdue.
But until this bill passes, we just handed the universities that money with no accountability, no performance thresholds.
Just 5% of university funding will run through the formula in 2018. That will jump to 100% the following year, with stop-loss provisions to prevent schools from losing money the first 2 years.
The Maysville Ledger Independent reports that the Fleming County Board of Education is planning three major assessments. MSPR's Logan Pemberton reports.
Between March the 12th and the 15th, the district will have its annual diagnostic review, a management audit, and an accreditation review through the state's advanced program. The Fleming County School District was placed under state assistance in 2013 and has undergone three diagnostic reviews since it was given that status. However, the school district has made many steps to become a district of distinction, according to the superintendent, Brian Kreisman. After the K-PREP test results were posted in 2016, the district received a score of 73, labeling the county as a distinguished district. Instructional supervisor Lesia Eldridge says that the accreditation review from advanced will be taking place the same week as the diagnostic review. Eldred says that only 39 districts have been accredited out of the 173 districts in Kentucky. For MSPR News, I'm Logan Pemberton reporting.
A Carter County legislator has been named the recipient of the Kentucky Valley Educational Cooperative's Patent Education Advocacy Award. According to the Grayson Journal-Inquirer, Republican State Representative Jill York has received the KVEC Patent Education Award for her efforts to support public education. The cooperative strives to develop a new economy for Eastern Kentucky by promoting innovation in K through 12 education. York has been active in seeking legislation in promoting and supporting public education through the General Assembly. York represents House District 96, which includes Carter and Lawrence counties.
Ashland Community and Technical College is now offering its students additional hands-on experience thanks to its new weather station. The station was made possible by a Perkins Career and Technological Education grant. Program coordinator David Childress says the small wireless device will detect a variety of different weather patterns and will send that information back to computer labs for ACTC students to study.
It will also record data. And so I can take the data from the station and put it on a micro USB card. And so our computer students can open up the data, and it can be used for charting, graphing. They can use it in any spreadsheet. And so that's really neat. It gives them hands-on, practical experience with actual live or real data.
Childress believes the weather station gives students a key opportunity to work with the data firsthand. He says since weather affects everyone, the station is also a good way for the college to connect with the surrounding community.
Rest of today, warm, mostly cloudy with isolated showers, highs in the upper 60s, chance of rain 20%. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s. On Friday, warm, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 70s. Friday night, showers with thunderstorms likely in the evening, then showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms late. Lows in the mid-40s, chance of rain 90%. Saturday, much cooler, partly sunny, a chance of rain showers in the morning, then a slight chance of rain showers in the afternoon.
The time is 4:44. You're listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Samantha Morrill here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're glad to be with you this Thursday afternoon. On our feature segment, legislation that allows a child to be removed from a household for safety concerns and placed immediately with someone other than a relative is moving through the Kentucky General Assembly. Greg Stottlemyre reports.
A bill moving through the Kentucky General Assembly expands the state's options for immediate placement of children who are removed from their homes for safety reasons. House Bill 180 would clear the way for kids to be placed with close family friends, often known as fictive kin, reducing the strain on the child and the foster care system. Tim Feely, now a deputy secretary in Kentucky's Health and Family Services Cabinet, is a former circuit judge.
For 11 years on family court bench, there were many times when I found there was a non-blood relative who was really the appropriate place, maybe a babysitter, a church member, a neighbor. Sometimes there's people who are not blood relatives who the child is very safe with, very comfortable with.
The legislation, which passed the House last week and out of the Senate Health and Welfare Committee yesterday, removes some of the red tape that often keeps the state from placing a child with someone they trust but who isn't a relative. The bill's primary sponsor, Representative Adia Wooshner, says the legislation will get more people involved who are willing to step in and fill the gaps in the system.
I think it gives the court and the judge a sense of, we can do more for this child. We can help the child not to be, in a sense, almost like doubly victimized, in that they're having to be removed from their home that is traumatic enough.
Wooshner says her bill requires background checks on everyone in a fictive kin household. Feely says he's comfortable with the safeguards built into the legislation.
You know, you go into a house and you have a 3 or 4 year old there, and the police are taking mom and dad away in handcuffs because of drug use. And the next door neighbor shows up and the 3 or 4 year old runs over and puts their arms around that one. That's awfully a good indication that that's somebody that the child would feel safe with.
Feely says the fictive kin legislation is a common sense measure as the state works on a complete review and overhaul of its adoption and foster care system. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
The time is 4:47. This is Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Braxton Howard has sports. He's coming up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Morehead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Morehead State Basketball Eagles are at Johnson Arena tonight at 9 o'clock for an OVC battle with Tennessee Tech. The game opens a regular season-ending two-game homestand for MSU. Sophomore forward Lamontre Harris says the Eagles will be out to build some momentum going into next week's conference tournament.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it. We are in front of our home crowd, so that can give us a lot of energy. You know, our fans love us to death, so you know, we'll feed off their energy, you know, them cheering us on, and we'll have our own energy as well.
At 13-14 overall and 9-5 in the OVC, the Eagles will be trying to end a two-game losing streak and also avenge a 76-73 defeat last month to Tennessee Tech in Cookeville. Tonight's game will be televised by the CBS Sports Network. Meanwhile, the MSU women's basketball team has learned it will finish the season without top scorer Brianna McQueen. The senior guard, who averaged nearly 14 points a game, needs surgery after suffering a knee injury in the Eagles' win over Tennessee State 8 days ago. Coach Greg Todd says his team will simply have to adjust to life without McQueen.
You know, the more games we play without her as a team, we'll get stronger and get more preparation where we don't have her. But obviously, you know, I don't think there's any basketball team in America that if they lost their leading scorer is not going to, it's going to hurt your team in certain capacities, obviously.
The MSU women finished the regular season Saturday at home against Jacksonville State. In addition to watching his team fall 74-63 last night at number 8 North Carolina, Louisville coach Rick Pitino had an issue of his own to deal with. When he was heading to the locker room at halftime, Pitino got into a shouting match with a fan at the Smith Center.
He just got in my face and said something I didn't like. But, you know, I take it from students all the time. You expect it from students. But from an adult and then turns his back on me like he's a coward. So.
The fan was ejected from the arena. Pitino says North Carolina fans are generally classy, and the man that he got into it with is an exception to the rule. ESPN reporter Maria Taylor says the fan yelled, "Pitino, you suck," at the Cardinals coach. In girls' high school district tournament championship action tonight, Fleming County plays host to Menifee County in the 61st. Rivals East and West Carter collide in Grayson in the 62nd, and Russell faces Lewis County for the 63rd crown. The Boys 64th District Championship will be decided tonight between host Ashland Blazer and Boyd County. Ashland is just 13-17 on the year, while Boyd County has the region's second-best record at 24-6. But Boyd head coach Randy Anderson says those records won't matter once the ball is tipped.
It's Ashland. It's a rival. They've been playing a whole lot better here of late. There's a lot on the line. I think a one seed means a lot come the draw on Saturday. So we expect their best shot. We're healthy and feel like we've been playing pretty good as well. So I think it should be a really good game.
Tonight's games all tip off at 7 p.m. The NBA trade deadline was today. Some notable trades took place. The Philadelphia 76ers traded former Kentucky big man Nerlens Noel to the Dallas Mavericks for a 2017 first-round draft pick, Justin Anderson and Andrew Bogut. The Oklahoma City Thunder traded Anthony Morrow and Cameron Payne to the Chicago Bulls for Taj Gibson, Doug McDermott, and a second-round draft pick. And the Toronto Raptors are sending Jared Solinger and two future second-round picks to the Phoenix Suns for P.J. Tucker. The Morehead State baseball team begins play in the Hoover Classic down in Alabama tomorrow. The Eagles will face Alabama State at 5 p.m. It will be the first game for Coach Mike McGuire's club since its stunning 13-8 come-from-behind victory on Tuesday at number 27 Mississippi State.
Yeah, that was a big Power 5 win for us. We talked about, not giving those big schools too much credit. You know, they've got good players, no question, but we've got good players as well. And it's nice to go toe-to-toe and come out on the right end of the stick.
The MSU baseball team will face Alabama State on Saturday and Iowa on Sunday. Cincinnati Reds manager Brian Price is expecting big things from closer Tony Cingrani this season. Price thinks Cingrani can build on his solid work in 2016, his first full healthy season in the big leagues.
But 13, 14, 15 were all marred by physical setbacks. So he showed some durability. He showed that he filled the role for our ball club. But he also showed that it was one more year where he was almost exclusively a fastball pitcher. He added the split and started to utilize that pitch. I think some sort of a breaking pitch, be it a cutter or a hard slider, would open up a whole new world to Tony.
Cingrani is working to add a cutter to his arsenal this spring. Last year, he went 2-5 with a 4.14 ERA along with 17 saves and 23 chances. Finally in sports, the Morehead State softball team is headed to South Carolina to compete in the Coastal Carolina tournament this weekend. Starting with Campbell tomorrow, the 4-4 Eagles will have five games against the likes of Campbell, Coastal, Cleveland State, and Penn State. Coach David Williams says playing against such tough competition is good for OVC play.
I think we got some good challenges. And we told our players at the beginning of the year, the first few weekends of the season, we're really going to challenge ourselves. We've got some really good non-conference games mixed in our schedule. So, as far as we're concerned, we're going to go out and we're going to, throw ourselves in the fire and see what we have. And hopefully by the time we get to conference play, we're prepared.
The Eagles will take on Campbell to start the tournament Friday at 12:30. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball welcomes Tennessee Tech tonight at 9 o'clock p.m. The game will be broadcast on the CBS Sports Network. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mixed on the back of remarks made by newly minted Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. And the Dow did finish at another all-time record high, finishing up 34.72 at 20,810.32. The S&P 500 managed a very small gain of 0.99, finishing at 2363.81. The NASDAQ Composite was left out of the party today as it was down 25.12 at 5835.51. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 15 to 13 in favor of winning stocks over losers. In an interview earlier, Mnuchin said that the Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said he wants to see, quote, very significant tax reform passed before Congress's August recess, and that the administration has been working closely with the leadership in the House and the Senate on a combined plan. U.S. Treasuries and gold prices, considered traditional safe haven assets, both rose following Mnuchin's interview, and the benchmark 10-year note yield actually dropped to 2.387% as bond prices went up, and the short-term two-year note yield dropped to 1.19%. Gold futures for April delivery settled $18.10 higher at $1,251.40 an ounce. Recent U.S. data continues to show strength as the Citi Economic Surprise Index holds near its highest level since 2014. In corporate news, Tesla reported mixed quarterly results, topping revenue estimates but falling short of profit forecasts, and the stock was down 6.4%. And Victoria's Secret's parent company, L Brands, reported weak forward-looking guidance this yesterday after the close, and this sent its stock tanking more than 15% in today's trading. Overseas European equities closed mostly lower, with the pan-European Stock 600 index declining 0.14%. In Asia, the Shanghai Composite fell about 0.3%, while the Nikkei 225 closed just below the flat line. In the oil markets, oil finished up about 0.5%, and among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer, and your worst performers were Caterpillar and Nike. In the S&P 500, the best performers were First Solar and Hewlett-Packard, and the worst performers were L Brands and NVIDIA. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 45 cents at 122.51, CSX down 48 cents at 47.91, AEP up 69 cents at 66, AK Steel down 68 cents at 8.11, Marathon Petroleum up 53 cents at 50.35, and Kroger was down 25 cents to finish at 32.98. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, presenting the 12th Annual Moorhead Antique Market Saturday and Sunday, March 4th and 5th at the Moorhead Conference Center. Antiques, collectibles, heirlooms, glassware, jewelry, and more. Presented by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, the 12th Annual Moorhead Antique Market at the Moorhead Conference Center. Saturday, March 4th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday, March 5th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. More information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead.
Rest of today, warm, mostly cloudy with isolated showers, highs in the upper 60s, chance of rain 20%. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s. Friday, warm, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 70s. Friday night, showers with thunderstorms likely in the evening, then showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms late, lows in the mid-40s, chance of rain 90%. Saturday, much cooler, partly sunny, chance of rain showers in the morning, then a slight chance of rain showers in the afternoon, highs in the lower 50s, chance of rain 30%. Saturday night, cooler, mostly cloudy, lows in the mid-20s. Sunday, sunny, highs in the mid-40s. Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of snow showers and a slight chance of rain showers, lows in the lower 30s, chance of precipitation 30%. Monday, partly sunny with a 50% chance of rain or snow showers, highs in the mid-50s, and it is 66 degrees in Moorhead.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Moraz, Dan Conti, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Kenzie Thompson, and Logan Pemberton. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre, and from the Kentucky News Network, Haley Hansen. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202VH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Samantha Morrill for Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.